Without doubt, we need the Lord to help us. Any endeavor we do, we need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us. I want to tell you tonight, I've really enjoyed being here in the CAP meeting with the saints of West Virginia again. Life, something about the way the Lord made our bodies, we end up getting tired, don't we? Just kind of like, it's just life. I know the saints here put forth a lot of effort, and we want to tell you we really appreciate all the effort. I've watched some of you work almost beyond yourself, and I've asked the Lord to help you and give you strength. Well, the meeting's coming down closer to the end. But the Lord hadn't left us, and He's not interested in leaving us. If there's a failure at all, it's already been said like this, if there's any failure at all, it's going to be on our part. But I want to encourage every one of us here tonight to come with a renewed determination in our heart to do whatever it takes to make heaven our home. Wherever we live, some have already got on the road and headed back home. We all come from different places. But wherever you live, whether it's in a town or back here in West Virginia or wherever you come from, the Lord wants to live right there with you. The Lord wants to help you and I to be victorious in this present world that we live in, whatever circumstances we are in. He's able to make you and I to be victorious. And I want you to believe that tonight. Not just because I said it, but because the Lord wants to offer His divine help for you and I. I'd like for you to open your Bible with us over here into Joshua, the 23rd chapter of Joshua. Oh, let's read here. Start with the 8th verse of the 23rd chapter of Joshua. It said, "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations." Now here, Joshua is giving some last counsel to the people here. He's getting ready to go on, and he's having a good heart talk with them. He says, "Now, you cleave, you hang on." This is what this means. Cleave is one part of the word cleave means cut asunder. But there's another part that sticks to like glue. You get a hold of Him with all you have. You cleave to the Lord. Cleave to the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man has been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, He it is that fights for you, as He hath promised you." I know Joshua was making that fairly specific to the children of Israel right there. I want to tell you, I believe the Lord has promised not on a level of fighting that they had back there. God intended for them to drive out the literal inhabitants of that land. But there are things that the Lord wants to strengthen you and I for. There's a spiritual battle that we all are facing today. And the devil wants to have great advantage, and he'll use the tools of discouragement, the tools of fear, or the absence of hope in our life. He'll try to use all those things to try to get you and I to the place that we almost feel like it's not worth the fight. I want to tell you, it's worth every fight you can give. This scripture says one of you will chase 1,000. Now you're not going to do that in your own strength. But you tell David that it can't be done. Come here, David, let's testify a little. David, if he's here standing up here to talk with you tonight, he's going to tell you that the Lord God Jehovah is able. That's what he's going to tell us tonight. You tell little brother David, the one that was out there with the sheep, playing on his harp, you tell him that it's not possible. You tell him one man can't chase a thousand. He's going to stand up here and say, you're right, in my own strength I can't do it. But in the help and the promises of God, I can stand right there. You know what he told that big giant? I'm coming against you in the name of my God. Did he get the victory? What do you say you killed one man? How many ran? There's a whole lot more in the palace than ran. Why? How did that happen? It happened because David had his trust in something that was beyond the eyesight of human reasoning. He looked beyond the very fact that he was a stripling and there was a giant. He looked beyond the fact that it looked like this man was a skilled, experienced man of war, and he was the best thing he could do was say, I've been a faithful shepherd. He was looking beyond that, but he remembered, I know I don't want to put extra into the scripture than what there really is, but I like to think of David probably back there as he was tending the sheep. I think David was spending some time alone with God. I believe we may have a lot of psalms in here because he may have composed some of those back there while he was tending sheep. David had some experiences with the Lord, and it built a deep-seated confidence in him that God was what he said he was. And now here comes this giant to stand before him, and everybody else was scared, and I think David had a certain amount of fear also, but he said, my God's able. I want you to notice, it's not that we don't have the capacity to be afraid. It's that our capacity to be afraid is overwhelmed by my belief in what God said. And he stood there because God said it could be done. Here, Brother Joshua left him with this, one man shall chase a thousand. For, this is the reason why, the Lord your God is the one that fights for you, as he's promised you. 11th verse says, and take good heed, therefore, to yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of those nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, for they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. That's a very strong and solemn warning. But before he gave him that warning, he gave him the way to maintain the victory. Again, I want to ask you, I know that, and Brother Murray and I was talking just a little bit here before service has started, sometimes that in this nation that we see around us and the things that are happening, we see the moral decay, we see the change of mindset, not just only around in communities, but as Brother Dan mentioned, we have now the leader of our nation standing up and embracing such an evil lifestyle that and saying that we ought to give it a certain honor because we ought to treat our neighbor as we want ourselves to be treated, using what ought to be a good, proper rule of life and using it in an evil way. That's happened at the highest level of our land. But I want to tell you, young folks, as you get married and the Lord gives you a chance to have children, I want to tell you, don't need to fear what is in the future. The Lord is able. How safe is that soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away? Let your faith go above the eyesight of your human ability, of your human eyes. Let your faith go above what you can see happening and anchor in what the Lord says. One of you can, even in the day we live in today, chase a thousand on a spiritual level, folks. I don't care what the devil would throw at God's people today. God is still able to make you and I victorious. In our own walk with the Lord, the neighbor down here, Dolly Lewis, was telling me today, we were talking a little bit, and I asked her, I said, did you know Brother Jim White before he got saved? And she said, yes, I did. She said he wasn't a good man. But then she went on to tell me some other things and how he had changed. And she testified, she said, I don't know how that man did what he did. And I said, the Lord must have given him lots of grace. She said, that's what it was, or something like that. She agreed. Folks, there have been people that have faced what seems to be insurmountable hurt. Things have come their way that looks like it should have overwhelmed them. But the Lord has been able to bring them through with a sweetness in their soul. Oh, I tell you, like Dolly told me, she said, oh, Jim's gone now, it won't hurt him. She said one time she was down there, I think it was a little store or something. And she said, Brother Jim came by and wanting to buy some tomatoes. And they didn't have any there. He said, well, I'm going to have to drive. It's about an hour away. He's going to have to drive to get those tomatoes. He said, yes, Jeanette, is that her name? Or, he said, her boyfriend's wanting some tomatoes. Did you hear what I said? This is Brother Jim that had this type of a thing, and he was willing to drive an hour to do something for this man. You tell me that's not victory. You tell me he wasn't chasing 1,000. That furnace was hot, he was walking in. And Dolly testified for him. She saw something in that man. That man's life is still affecting people here today because he lived it. If we called up to the three Hebrew children today, asked them to testify, can it be done? Is it possible to live a victorious life in this life? Now, you did it back then, that was a long time ago, and you're not facing what we had to face. If we called them up to testify, what would they say? Say, he'll walk with you through it. Brother Abednego, is it possible? Yes. Well, I'm not careful how I'm answering you in this. What they're going to tell us, the Lord's able to make you to be victorious in what you're going through today. Can I live godly in this life? Oh, yes, you can. These are people who got a hold of God way back yonder. God hadn't changed. God's able to bring that type of victory right down to where you and I live today. Oh, dear ones, today I ask that you'll exercise our faith to reach out and grab hold of what God has said. In all the disappointments or the hurts that we might go through, the Lord's able to make you and I in the midst of it to flourish and bring forth fruit for Him. He's able to do that right here. You can take 1,000. Oh, yes, you can. Armies that seem to be overwhelming odds. Spiritual things now I'm talking about. I don't know of a man here. I don't know every one of you. I don't know if anybody's went through anything stronger than what Dolly was describing, what Brother Jim went through. I want to tell you, he had a sweet spirit and went through it. And not only was it his own salvation, it was the salvation of some others. Thank the Lord for the victory. Lord's able.
make us to be victorious. All right. Now, let's go over here into Judges. After Joshua had told them this, encouraged them and told them that one of you can chase 1,000. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will be right there with you. After he had done that, and even told them, given them that warning that he wouldn't go, that they wouldn't go ahead and be slack. Then we look over here into what they begin to do. First chapter of Judges, 17th verse, it says, "And Judah went with," this is Judges, the first chapter in the 17th verse, "and Judah went with Simeon his brother and slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, Ascalon, and the coast thereof, and Ekron, with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. But he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron." You think that's a real reason? They had chariots of iron. That's a reason given. What was it that the Lord defeated when the children of Israel was going across the Red Sea and that whole army was coming behind them? What was it? Didn't he defeat a whole bunch of chariots right there? A whole army. He swallowed them up. Remember another time the children of Israel leaned to the Lord for deliverance and they sought his face and begged for deliverance, and the Lord sent a hailstone, a hailstorm in amongst them. You remember that? Another time the Lord said, "You're not going to need to fight, you just stand there and watch me. You just send the singers out, those that going to remind people of how great their God is. Those that begin to sing praises to me, and they went out there." That doesn't seem like a very good military tactic at all, to send singers in front of you, but that's what they did, because the Lord said so. Went out there and began to sing praises to the Lord. And they got to looking, and I don't remember if this was the incident or not, but one of the times, the Lord sent a batch of hornets down amongst them. Now you can be well armed, and you can have a great helmet of visor and shields and everything all over you, but I'll tell you, I don't know what you're going to do when you get a batch of hornets down underneath that armor. Your sword's not going to work very well. The Lord just spoke to some little hornets. Do you really think that it was these iron chariots? Is that the reason why? Or had they, in the process of their life, lost sight of the source of their victory? It said, because they had chariots of iron. I want to tell you, the Lord, another place said the Lord took the wheels right off the chariots. Folks, in your life and mine, our source of victory is not in our strength or our ability to bullheadedly go through something. Our victory is going to be found on our face before the Lord. Yes, we offer. And I know in our first message that we had, and sometimes in this one, I say there's a determination. There's a sense of that I'm going through, that we're going to have to give the Lord. But I want to tell you, there comes a place that we cannot face in our own strength what's ahead of us. We're going to have the help of the Lord. And that's the part that the Lord's going to do. He's promised that. These folks evidently began to lose sight
the source of their victory. It seems to be a common human weakness that when we begin to start having some victories, having some success, say it like that, we almost take success for granted and begin to think that maybe I can handle it. You remember what the children of Israel did right after they went across the Jordan and they obeyed the Lord and marched around the city of Jericho, and they watched the Lord bring the walls down, the walls of the city of Jericho, watched the Lord bring that down, and they had such a wonderful victory there. And then, you remember, that there was a little, what was it, Ai? Not very far off. And they, in their mind, they sent some spies over there, and they said, it's just a little one. Believe we can handle it, and we don't need to send everybody. You know where they'd already begun to put their trust? Their own selves. God doesn't want you and I to lean to our own understanding. He wants our faith and our trust to take God at His word and keep it, our faith and our trust in what thus saith the Lord. Not in our own ability, not in our own strength, but anchored in what the Lord. All right, let's go on. 20th verse, and they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Now this is a real short discourse on Caleb. You all remember who Caleb is, don't you? Caleb's a man that was about 43 years old or so, for good how many years, when he was a spy, when he went down in the land of Canaan. One of the 12 spies. Remember them? He was one of those who went down there and he came back and he was the one who said, we're well able. Why did he say that? He saw the giants. He saw the chariots of iron. He saw the walled cities. He saw all that was there, like, and he also saw the bounty of what was there. Not only did he see that, in his mind, in his ears, still rang the fact that God said, wherever I send you, there's victory ahead. And he still believed it in spite of what he saw with these eyes. Caleb was that one. Was it 40 years later? 80-some-year-old man. 83. I'm not sure. What was it? Anybody remember how old he was? 85? 2 years older than you. And he said when he got over there, he said, I feel just as strong today as what I did when I was 40 years old. I want to tell you, our strength begins to wane, doesn't it, brother? You get a little older, your strength begins to wane. And he couldn't have done it in his own ability of his arm. But his faith was still the same place. He said, I feel just as strong today as what I did on the first day I saw those giants. And he said, in fact, I want that mountain where those giants live. Does anybody here have any giants in your life? It looks like there's no way you can overcome them. I want look beyond it now. There's a God that says one of you can chase a thousand. You having trouble getting victory in your community? Somebody rubbing you the wrong way in the congregation? Got somebody that, as Brother Larry said the other day, is a, what, extra grace needed or something? Extra grace required? And you letting yourself wear a little thin? Oh, watch it now. We can wear thin under. When we start looking at that thing, oh, we can wear thin under. But all that's consciously turn our face away from the present distress and look to that one that says, I can cause you to be victorious. One of you can chase a thousand because it's the Lord's going to fight for you. Brother Caleb now comes down to this part. Brother Caleb, when he got over there, he said, I want those giants. His faith was still in the Lord. And it's a real little short verse, but it means a lot to me. Caleb, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he
expelled. They're all gone. He expelled. Didn't say that he got rid of this group and that group, but that group over there was a little too fierce for him. That's not what it said. See, he expelled them. Got rid of them. He expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Then it goes on. Now, again, I want to note that Brother Caleb was victorious. His eyes was on the Lord, and he went through this thing with victory. And that's how you and I are going to get it too. The children of Benjamin did not drive out. Oh, why not? Children of Israel did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. They're still tolerating it. Oh, dear ones, let's take assessment of our spiritual dwelling today. Has there been some places that look like it's too hard for you to get the victory in? I've heard a sister before talk about somebody hurt her years and years and years and years ago. And she said, I'm having so much trouble finding forgiveness. She said, I feel like I can find forgiveness for him a little bit. And then it comes back. I want to tell you, God has greater victory for us than that. God doesn't intend for these things to dwell in to this day. He wants you and I to be victorious, and He has victory for us. That's what I want you to know. I want your faith to grasp the fact that God has spiritual victory for you today in the battles that you're facing now. Don't have to labor under that thing. This is a sad comment when it talks about the people living there. The Jebusites are dwelling amongst the Benjamites to this day. God's got better victory than that for us. Oh, let's go on. Said the house of Joseph sent to decry Bethel. In other words, they went, they were wanting to take that. Now the name of Bethel at that time, the name of it was Luz. And the spies saw a man coming out of that city, and they got him and they said, show us, tell us, how do we enter? Where is the entrance to this city? And we will show you mercy. Is that what the Lord said? The Lord, didn't He tell them to utterly destroy? But in human reasoning, it seemed wise. They caught this man and said, tell us the vulnerability. How can we, in human ways, how can we approach this city and fight it the best? Well, is that what Joshua did when they went to Jericho? You think the walls of Jericho would have fallen down? Now, I understand, according to archaeologists, that the walls of Jericho had foundations that some places ran 40 feet down in the ground. Foundation went 40 feet down. One of the tactics of war they used to use to bring a wall down was to go and undermine it. Take out the support down below until it began to crumble. It'd be pretty discouraging to try to dig that 40-foot foundation out, wouldn't it? God knew that. He knew that was too big for them. So what did He tell them to do? He said, you obey me. That's all it was. I always said, you can say, well, brother, I mean, He told them to walk around. Well, He did, but He told them to obey. Walking around is not going to knock those walls down. What made them fall? God, in response to their obedience. When they shouted the victory, those walls came down because God told them to fall. And they came down. There was no military tactic that they could have used to bring those walls down. No human reasoning, and if you looked at what they did, it didn't make sense at all that they walking around, marching around these walls like it would have brought them down. But they did it because God said, even though it looked foolish to those on the walls. I imagine, I don't know, but
it seems reasonable to me that people up there, the first day they saw this group of Israelites coming out there, they said, oh no, we're in trouble now because we have heard of how their God has been so great and has done so many. Remember, that's what Rahab said. We've heard. We're all trembling in here because we've heard how great your God is. They heard that a long time ago. You know those children of Israel? Those spies should have heard the same thing that Rahab and the others. They should have heard that same and remembered it and stood up and said, we're more than able through the grace of God, through the help of the Lord. Well, Rahab, they all heard that and trembled. And here these people came out there marching around. Oh, I imagine fear gripped them all. Nothing happened. And they all marched around and went back home. Another day, they all marched around and went back home. After a few days of that, I imagine they gathered around and looked out there and laughed. See? Look what they're doing. That's so silly. What do they think they're doing? But they quit laughing when they shouted because they felt the walls breaking underneath them. Why? Why? Because God told them to come down. That's our source of victory, folks. Now, here they come. They said in human reasoning now, they caught this man and said, show me. Again, I want you to take note. It wasn't human reasoning. It wasn't human tactics that brought down the walls of Jericho. Here they begin to lean to their own ways. And they asked, what's the vulnerability of this city? And they said, if you let us know, we'll make a league with you. We're going to show mercy. We're going to let you go. And the fellow did. He gave him, told him how to get there, and they let him go. They took that city. But notice there's one little thing. Notice the last part of the 26th verse. Actually, the last part of the 21st says, ended that by saying, but they let go the man and his family. But, in other words, that's something they weren't supposed to do. But they let go the man and his family. 26th verse says, and the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name, therefore, unto this day. What was the name of the city that the children of Israel, it said Bethel here, but before they took it, it was called Luz. It was Luz. And then they let this man from Luz go, and he went and built Luz again. Folks, when you and I don't deal with things in our life, when the Lord delivers them into our hands, if we have sympathies toward any part of the old self, the old carnal flesh, if we have sympathies toward it in any way, I want to tell you, we might whittle it down to one man left, but he's going to go somewhere and he's going to start building again. And it'll be the same thing. You know how to get victory? Utterly destroy. What was it Jesus said? If you want to come after me, take up your cross, daily. In other words, use that cross. Hang the old flesh, the old carnal man on it. Don't show it sympathy. Oh, let me go on down just one group after another. They failed. For one reason or another. Another one took the tactic on down there, the 28th verse. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. It said, but the Canaanites in the verse above that, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. This is a land. It said, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. But when they became strong, they put them to tribute. Is that the way they're supposed to deal with that? What was it he said earlier? That if you don't utterly destroy them, he said they're going to be thorns in your eyes. There are going to be goads in your side. There's going to be things happen that you don't, that you wish wouldn't happen. You're going to intermarry. You're going to have things going on here that is against what God told you, and your victory is going to come to an end. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Oh, but let's just put them to tribute. Let's make them our slaves. Don't you know the old flesh life will try all it can to tell you and I that if you'll just let me, I'll be a hewer of wood, I'll be a drawer of water in the house of your God. You remember that, the Gibeonites? Remember they came? They came with all this moldy bread and looked like worn out clothes and shoes, and they said, we live a long ways away. We've come a long journey. And really, you won't really ever have to worry about us because we're so far off. But we really want to come and make a league with you because we really think you're... We realize that the Lord's with you and we want to... But you really never would have to worry about us. See how far we've traveled. This bread here that you see so moldy and crusty, we brought it fresh from the oven. And we went so far, this is what it looks like now. And it says they did not seek counsel from the Lord. I want to tell you folks, the devil will be wily. And he'll do all he can to paint his, well, actually, the old flesh, old carnal man. He'll do all he can to say, it's alright, it's really not that important. You can let this part slide in your life. You can take on a little worldliness here. You can go ahead and be involved in some of these things let the old flesh take pleasure in the things of the world. Yeah, it's not that big a deal. It's really not that important. Come on. It's 2012. Everybody's doing it. But there are some that's remaining faithful. And you can go ahead and try to go that way. And in fact, if you'll just learn these ways of outreach, I'll help you. You know, there's man has learned so many things of human nature, and if you'll just learn some of these techniques, well, you can reach souls a little better. You know, if you have a nice band set up here, you can attract a lot of crowd. You can spend about 30 minutes of having some music going on here, good and strong, a little bit of rock music going, and you're going to attract a lot of young people. And remember, young people is your future church. You want to build on the young, so let's attract the young, and then maybe we can have about 10 or 15 minutes of y'all come and be saved now. This is the Lord has moved you. You know what that is? We'll be hewers of wood and drawers of water in the house of your God. That's a tactic of Satan. So the flesh. And you'll never get victory that way. Our victory is found when we anchor our faith and our hope and our future in what thus saith the word of the Lord. It's a sad comment when we see people lean to their own understanding and we see the failure that comes in their life. But then you look at somebody, again, like you all here know well, and it's challenged my life and many a life in this community. You look at the path Brother Jim White took, and you compare that type of a life with those who have leaned to their own devices. And I want to tell you, one man is blessed. And that's, let me die the death of the righteous. That's what I want. All right. 32nd verse. But that the Asherites dwell among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out one after another. 33rd verse, latter part of that. But he dwelt among the Canaanites again. Something that the Lord wanted them to have victory over. In our life today, there are individual places, maybe even fortified places in our life that the devil would like to hang on to. But the Lord wants you and I to get the victory. And he says, it's your land. It's a good land. It's a land of milk and honey. There's a place that the Lord himself wants to own in the hearts of mankind. There's places that the devil shouldn't have any advantage in our life. And the Lord, by his mercy, comes along and exposes this area. Helps us to see. And oh, we say, oh my.
I can't. I've lived it. That's my nature. You know, I grew up in a family that always had trouble with anger. And here I am. Oh, I fly up a hand. Oh, I want to tell you, God still got victory. God still wants to strengthen you. And I say that. I use that example because that's where I grew up. I grew up around on the farm where I had cattle and we were in the dairy business. It seemed like every time I went out there to milk those cows, they had some awful plan against me and they executed it to perfection. And I had a lot of struggles with my grace down that dairy barn. But I tell you what, it's still good for me. I want to tell you, God's got victory for you and I in these fortified places in our life. I want to encourage us. One man is going to chase a thousand. One of you. Because the Lord's fight for us. Alright? Sometimes the devil will try to point out all the reasons why it can't be done. Well, those folks over there, they have iron chariots. Those folks over there, they're giants. And I look at them, and I look at me, I'm a grasshopper. They could just step on me and crush me. Not what the Lord was saying. The Lord said, wherever your foot, I'll give it to you. Again, I would like to ask you. We say that today, sometimes we fear what's going to happen. And we should have a concern about the direction that the world's taken. We should pray and ask the Lord to deal and have mercy on America. Deal with the hearts of mankind, that people will be saved. We need to ask the Lord to shake awake the hearts of mankind. Because there's a lot of wickedness out there. There's a lot of spiritual malaise in this world. And may God shake America awake, because without it, their souls won't be saved. And we should be concerned about that. But I want to tell you, our faith goes beyond the fear that might be in front of us. Our faith anchors in what thus saith the word of the Lord. There were people that have shown the way in the past. Ask Brother Daniel, can it be done? Ask Brother Daniel, the one who went into the lion's den. You know, it would have been a small matter just to use a little human wisdom, a little discretion, and not go over and open that window and pray toward his God. If he'd have just kind of hung back in the corner, could have said, I can still face the same direction clear over in this other corner of the room, and they don't need to know that I'm praying. Brother Daniel had spent some time with his God. And he wasn't ashamed of him. He went over and opened the window just like he always had. Looked over there with a longing in his heart. Oh, my Lord, restore my people. Restore your great name in Jerusalem. Oh, Father, glorify your name where I am. In me, I don't know what all he prayed, but it said he did it three times a day. Carried a burden, didn't it? Tell Brother Daniel it can't be done. Tell Brother Daniel that one can't chase a thousand. Brother Daniel, stand up here and he can say, you be faithful to the Lord, he'll be faithful to you. You remember what he went through? They went and grabbed him. They took him over there to a den of hungry lions. And they threw him right on down in there. Closed him back up. And there was a man who happened to be the king. And he had somehow over the years had quite a liking to Brother Daniel. And here all night long, evidently the law of the Medes and the Persians was that he had to stay in there at least a certain segment of time. All night long, the king couldn't even sleep. And it seemed like the first crack of dawn, he jumps out of bed, he runs out there. I don't know if he had his bodyguard with him or not, but he got, and he wanted to know, is this God still able? Oh, Daniel, the one who serves the living God. Daniel, was your God sufficient? Oh, King, live forever. Had an angel by me all night long. You tell me what's better than that. I want to tell you, try the Lord. And there have been faithful men through every generation behind us. And there can be faithful men that can rise up right now and go forward in victory with the Lord. Without fear, facing the very things that we may dread. Facing a nation that may put us in jail for saying that terrible lifestyle is evil and wrong. Brothers and sisters, it's still right to stand for the truth. If he can bring Brother Daniel through a lion's den, surely he can bring you and I through the little things we face. Brother Paul said after a lot of the things that he went through, and I still am amazed. You remember what he gave all shipwrecked, night and a day in the deep, out there in the water. He was beaten a number of times. I wonder what he would say now. We'll bring him up to testify. Brother Paul, can the Lord keep you when you're in prison and your backs are hurting because they beat you and your feet are in the stocks and you're hurting so bad you can't sleep? Can the Lord give you grace, Brother Paul? Brother Silas, what about it? Can we be victorious, Brother Silas? Brother Silas, when we're dealing with the hurts that life brings our way, people maybe intended to hurt us. Brother Silas, is there victory? I believe Brother Silas would say, oh yes. We sing praises when it's the darkest of the night. The Lord came down there and met us and encouraged us in our soul, and we just couldn't keep from singing out to Him. Brother Paul and I, oh yeah, it was hurting, but you know the Lord just came down there and we all forgot about the hurt on our backs and we just started thanking Him. And the Lord shook that place. And the jailer got saved. Oh, Brother Silas, is it possible? Is it possible that I can live so victorious that my very enemies will be touched by God? Isn't that what God's still wanting? You know, Brother Jim White lived long enough to see his wife saved and go to heaven. Is it possible that you and I can have victory in the face of overwhelming onslaughts of the devil? Brother Paul, is it? Oh, yes. And then he ended it by saying, these light afflictions. See, they work for us. These light afflictions work for me. They produce something far greater weight of glory. Oh, there's something, and it's worth it, folks. Oh, dear saints, it's worth it. Get a hold by faith. The call of the Spirit of the Lord that calls you and I to greater victory, calls you and I to greater faith. Believe on the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't come to a place that you have a truce with things in your life. Maybe we can feel like that we've had anger and it's a genetic thing. I want to tell you, God wants you and I to have victory over that we can help our children to have victory over it. We don't need to pass those things on. Let's pass on the things that David passed on. Victory. Those songs of victory. Let's pass on those things that those brothers and sisters that have gotten the victory before us have passed on. My grandmother, I have seen her. There was a time that she had typhoid fever. And I wasn't alive at that time, but I've heard the story. There was, she was down so low that some of the people in the neighborhood got together.
And Grandpa wasn't taking her to the hospital because Grandma said she didn't want to go. Got down so low that the community was concerned, and they got together and had a meeting and was going to go over there and try to force Grandpa to take Grandma to the hospital. Grandpa was so burdened, not knowing what to do. You know, he loved his wife. It looked like she was dying. He loved her. And he was wondering what he was going to do. And there's a field not far from the house there where my mother still lives. That he said he was going down the road, heavy-hearted, not knowing what to do, except he was seeking the Lord. He says as he walked, as he passed on the road by that field, he looked out there and he said, looked like the field just bloomed out completely white with a bunch of men that had said they had these white coats on, all had stethoscopes around representing doctors. So they stood there before him. And then he looked over here and he said there was one that he knew as his Savior. And he looked over at him and he said, which one do you want? And my grandpa said, I want you. Well, the end of that story is the Lord delivered and my grandma still lived. Folks, it doesn't make any difference which way the story turns out. The essential part is that we keep our faith in the Lord. I choose you, Lord, because it's right. I want to tell you, because my grandpa told me that story, it has helped to strengthen my resolve. We've got some little ones growing up around our feet. They need some stories. They need some people. They need those who took God at His Word, who was able to get some spiritual victories in their life, who was able to go through the difficult things of life because God said so. Those who stood up and said, those might be giants, but I feel just as strong as what I did a long time ago because my eyes are on the Lord. We're looking for people that have anchored their hope and their all their future in what God says. If we do that, we'll be victorious. If we do that, I know I mentioned Brother Jim White, and there's a good reason, because y'all know him. He's had great effect on this community. If you live faithful unto the Lord, you're going to also have a great effect on your community. Not just your community. Many times, folks, our families are worth fighting for. Let's leave behind a legacy of faithfulness unto the Lord. One that says, in spite, we have a song that says like this, regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. Pray for me, I want to be faithful.